Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I got something to share with you today. Give me, if you would, Isaiah passage in Isaiah 40, starting with verse 3. And this is Isaiah prophesying about John the Baptist speaking and prophesying of the coming of the Lord and his first coming. And we're waiting on the second coming, right? He's coming. Aren't you glad he came? I'm glad he came. I would be a nutcase if he didn't come. Are you with me? And so would you. Now, let's look at this. He says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Now look, the way, remember, is Jesus. Remember, Jesus was talking in John chapter 14. He was preparing them, the disciples. He was telling them that he's going to leave. And he's going to leave and I'm not going to be with you now. I'm getting ready to go. Things are going to change. I'm going to be here in a different form. I'm not going to be here like I am right now. So he said, John 14, 1, let not your hearts be troubled. He says, don't be troubled in your heart. Why? Because he's leaving. He says, let not your heart be troubled. And then he says, believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's good news, isn't it? He's preparing a place for a prepared people. And then he said, I am the way. He was telling people who understood the Old Testament tabernacle. And when you went into the Old Testament tabernacle, the tabernacle of David, when you went there, they had to sacrifice animals, and blood was shed for your sin outside, and that was called the way, and that's where you repented. Remember, we talked about repentance. Repentance is a practice of believers, a regular practice. We need to continually repent. In Acts 3:19, it says, repent that your sins may be blotted out and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We need to continue to repent. Repent back to the highest level. That's what repentance is. It's the highest place. I'm going back to the highest version of who I am when I repent and I'm dependent on God. And so that's what he's saying. I am that. I'm the way. I'm the sacrifice. I'm the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm the way. In other words, you don't have to do the animal thing anymore, but you have to repent. Are you with me? And then there was a door, one door to get in the tabernacle, and that was the truth. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. The life was the presence of God, the Zoe life. You can only get into the presence of God and the life God has created you for his way. And through his truth, there's no other way. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Hare Krishna. It's not through Einstein. It's only through Jesus. It's not through Confucius. Only through Jesus. Prepare the way. Now look, prepare is he's preparing our character. That's what preparing is. Your character, who you are. To whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Romans 8:29. He's conforming his image in you. The word image is character. He's conforming his image as you yield to his truth. and his spirit, your character is being formed and prepared for the place he has for you. You're one day going to rule in heaven and on earth forever because you are a new creation, because you've chosen his way. Now listen, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare. Remember, the word prepare means fixed, or it means set, or cured. It's concrete. If somebody pours concrete, they'll pour a driveway and they'll say, don't back up on that driveway or don't pull in the driveway till it's set, until it's fixed, until the concrete is hardened for you to drive in. See, if it's prepared, the tires aren't going to leave an impression on the concrete because it's fixed. When you're fixed on the way of the Lord, nothing else is going to cause you to go another way, because you're going to go his way. Are you catching this? You're going to go his way. Nothing else is going to leave an impression on you to go another way. Are you listening to me? He's preparing us. But you see, if the concrete wasn't fixed, if it wasn't prepared, you leave tire marks on there, there's an impression, it's hard to get out. You got to watch which way you're going. Are you with me? God is preparing us. Now think about this. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now he's not talking about I-75 out there. He's talking about a highway. Character again. Standards. Repent. Back to pent. Pentacle. Highest level. If you're going to become the highest version of who you are and who God created you, it takes repentance to get to his high way. Oh, are you listening to me? He knew you before you were born. He formed you. He sanctified you. He ordained you before you even showed up. Now his word is calling you to be you. Now listen, a highway. That's why the prophet Isaiah, same one who's prophesying, he says in Isaiah 55, my ways are higher than your ways. Talking about God. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It will not return to me void. It's not coming back empty. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. And then you will be led out with joy and walk in peace. You see, when you get to his highway, now you have real joy. Amen. And you're walking in peace because you have real joy. And the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. Now, this is our foundational scripture for the Advent. Look what he says. Every valley shall be exalted. You know what the valley is? The valley are the low places. Represents humility. When you're humble, you're dependent on God. You see, when you're dependent on God, he's going to exalt you up to the high place. Are you getting this? That's what he does. When you depend on him, he's showing you you. He's trying to get you to be you. He's trying to show you the you haven't met yet. Look, every mountain and every mountain and hill brought low. What's the mountain and hill represent? Pride. Pride. Pride is arrogance. You're trying to do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. We can't do this ourselves. In Judges, it says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And there was no king. See, you don't have no king. And you're trying to do it in your own eyes. You need a king. His name is Jesus. Now, every mountain and hill brought low. Here's what he's saying. Pride, he says in James 4:6, God, watch this. He gives grace to the humble. Grace. We're saved by grace. When we humble ourselves, we're being saved. We're dependent on him. Now watch. But he says he resists the proud. In James 4:6. He resists the proud. You're going to have to write some of these down. See, that some of this just keeps coming to me. So you just have to, you know, we're going to work with the new technology, but you got to stay with me. If you're here to get something, you'll get it. Now watch. But he resists the proud. The word resist means frustrate. Frustrate. Who does that? God. Think about this. He resists the proud. He frustrates the proud. The word frustrate means to prevent from obtaining a goal or purpose. He will never allow you to fulfill his purpose and plan if you're trying to do it in your own strength. You're going to have to depend on him. Did you get that? And that's what he's saying. Watch. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. Now, remember in Galatians 2:14, Paul was rebuking Peter, who preached the birth of the church. He was rebuking Peter because Peter had fallen into religion. And he wasn't agreeing with the truth at the time. So Paul says, you're not being straightforward with the truth of the gospel. Galatians 2:14. Remember, what's the word straight? Orthos. Remember where the word ortho comes? That's where we get the word orthodontist. I had braces on my teeth, and I had to go to the orthodontist. And so now I had to have a new retainer. And the orthodontist is, after you get your braces, you still have to wear, there has to be retention for the rest of your life. I like that. Back to tension. We needed some tension to keep things straight. You see that? All of us. Now listen. So, chapter 3 of Galatians, he says, who's bewitched you that you do not believe, that you're not obeying the truth? In other words, you started in the spirit, but now you're trying to do the will of God in the flesh. He says, somebody's bewitched you. They were listening to false teachings. Are you with me? Now, that they do not obey the truth. The truth brings you into a healthy teaching, to the one gospel that's true. You still with me? Now, and that's why he wants it to be straight. Orthos. Somebody came out of here last week, and they said, yeah, I work at this hospital in Dayton, and I work in the orthopedic, on the orthopedic floor. That's your bones. Straight. Straighten them bones up. You still with me? So, ortho, straight, line up. You ever hear, I'm going to get some mail from this. I'm, you know, LGBT, come on in here. Many as you can get them up in here. The Holy Ghost and the Word of God will help you. Are you with me? Are you with me? Not saying anything negative about that. But I'm just trying to help you see something. What's important? You paying attention? I hear them all the time. You'll hear them say, oh, are they straight or are they gay? Oh, they say that all the time. Are they lining up or are they gay? Because gay is not lining up. This is where we get the word unorthodox. Orthodox is straight thinking. Theology. Did you get that? Let that sink in. If you want it to be straight, it's got to be the one gospel. And I don't care what you say. I don't care how mad you get. Still got to be straight. Hebrews 12 says, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the paths of your feet. Ortho. So that what is lame might be healed. So what is lame and dislocated might be healed. See, when you're straight, it helps to bring healing in your life. That's why we need the truth spoken over us continuously. Are you listening to me? And abiding in this truth. So, he's going to make the crooked places straight. Who? Jesus. Because he's the way. And he's the truth. And this is what we got to line up with. Now look at this. And the rough places smooth. Give me the next one. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. God's glory is being revealed. Uncovered. Okay? Now look. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now watch this. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, you know what he's quoting? Peter's quoting this same thing. Peter was the one who was off in Galatians, getting a little bit of sidetracked, but he got back right back on track. But he got back on track. Remember, Peter was the one that denied Jesus 3 times. Because he didn't want to be associated with Jesus because of the persecution that was going to come and all the haters and all the would come because he was associated with Jesus. You're going to experience some of that if you're straight with this gospel. Well, this is so good. Get a hold of this. But the word of our God stands forever. Now look at this. Go to 1 Peter 22 and 20 through 25. Look what he says. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Purified. See that? That word purified is where we get the word catheter. That's what they put in people when they're in a hospital and so they don't become septic. That's when you can't have a bowel movement. They'll put a catheter in you so that your body can be cleansed of all the impurities and all the things that would contaminate it. See that? When we obey the truth, it's like a catheter. Getting rid of that stuff that don't belong in there. Don't you like that? Now watch this. Since you have purified your soul, what's the word soul? The word soul is the word psuche. It's the Greek word. It's where we get the word psychology and psychiatry. Psychology is the study of the soul. Psychiatry is the treatment of the soul. It says in James 1:21, it says that we are to receive the word of God with meekness, which is able to save our souls. You see that? God has given us his word for the purifying, for the saving of our souls, for the study, and for the treatment of your soul. You want to talk psychology? Come on, I got something for you. I'm not even a doctor. You want to talk? I saw my mom was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. She didn't even take medicine the last 13 years. That was uncommon. You paying attention? Look what he says. Purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now watch this. Give me the next one. Having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. See, the seed is the word of God. We're born again of this word. And it brings incorruption. What's being corrupted? The will of God. What's incorruptible means the word, the will of God can take place in your life. Pay attention. seed but incorruptible through the what? Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now watch. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. Now watch. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Pay attention. Now he was quoting Isaiah. Peter was quoting Isaiah. Now look. Now, Peter's telling you, now this is the word which by the what Isaiah has been prophesying. Glad tidings. You see that? Good news. The word gospel is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. They said glad tidings. Tidings means information. Glad information. But now we have the gospel. News that's too good to be true news. When you understand and believe this gospel, all your sins have been washed away. Past, present, and future. And now you're in a position to obey the truth and become everything God put you on this earth to be. If it's lining up. You see that? Or though. Now watch. I love this stuff. Now get a hold of this. So now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get a little transparent with you. Back in 2005, I came here at the end of 1999 and talked to him and the superintendent. We met, had a dinner, and there was only 12 people coming to the church. And they had the building up for sale. And a lot of things happening. And so I met with them. I came. When I pulled in this lot, the Holy Spirit said, this is it. And my wife at the time said, yep, this is it. She even agreed. You paying attention? And so, this is it. So they didn't even know if they could pay me $7,000 a year. Because they had no income. They had nobody in the church. My mother-in-law was one of them at the meeting there. She was at the meeting. She was one of the 12. And so was Virgie. Where's Virgie? Is she here? But anyways, okay, listen. So now I come, then this church, I come up and I start preaching. And this church starts to grow. And then it starts to really go bonkers. 100 more seats here. We did all new children's wing back there. And we did a $500,000 expansion. And I'm preaching to beat the band. And I just know I'm in my calling. One day, my wife says, I'm not going. We're right in the middle of this expansion. She says, I'm not going. I said, what you said, you're supposed to be with me in all this, you know. What are they going to say? She said, I don't care. I'm not going. I said, well, I am going. And I continued to drive from Tip City, come here, and preach the gospel. And I didn't know what I was going to do. Here's what I thought. What are they going to think? What are all those people going to think? This is going to fall apart right in the middle of this expansion. What's going to happen? I started thinking all these thoughts. I'm bombarded with all this. Been married 28 years. Happy! Are you listening to me? Tickled to be a father. Tickled to be a husband. Happy! I mean, I love my family because I grew up in a dysfunction family. And I wanted me a family. And I was preaching. But now, something changed. People change. Where? She never came back. She's never been back since. So I continue to preach. I call James Dobson, Focus on the Family, because I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? What are they going to think? Nobody ever asked me. You listen to me? I just kept doing. Focus on the Family prayed for me. They said, you keep doing what you're doing. If you're telling us the truth, you keep doing what you're doing. I called Charles Stanley because his wife left him. He's got one of the biggest ministries, In Touch Ministries, one of the largest ministries in the world. I called him, and his administrator talked to me. She says, "Will you tell me what's going on, and I'll talk to him about it." She said, "If you want to talk to him, you'll have to come here and go to the altar and meet him at the altar and talk about it." And she says, "But you can share with me, and I'm in confidence." And she told me everything. I told her everything. She told him, he said, "Tell him to stay with it." Nobody told me to quit. Are you listening to me? See, that's what we have to understand. If God calls you to something, you need to go with what God's saying and wait till he says not to. So I kept coming up here, and it was hard. I mean, it was hard. I came up, I started taking my granddaughter out on Friday nights. We'd go out like a little date. I had her, and we'd go. I remember she ate her first steak with me. And she's, "Man, this is good, Papa." And I'm just, you know, and then I never would go out by myself. But shoot, now I'm going out by myself. Shoot, I'm going to the Longhorns and give me a big old ribeye. By myself, with some salt on it, right? And I enjoyed it, but I kept on getting in that book and bringing to the people what God was showing me. Am I making sense? I felt like my feelings wanted to tell me, but God was sustaining me. And my grandmother was a believer from being a young kid. And she used to pray for us. But anyways, I'm going to tell you something. I grew up in a dysfunctional family. My mom was taken when I was 5 years old and put into a mental institution. And I started drinking at an early age, sixth grade. I'm getting drunk in the shed across the street. This is what was medicating my pain. And so I'm in high school, and I'm just making it through barely. And I made it through. Here's my point. When I got saved, it's like at age 25, I mean, all that stuff came off of me. Some guy at work, where I worked for Miles Laboratories, started sharing the gospel with me. And I was watching the 700 Club one night, and I had a Bible. He gave me a Bible, and I had a quart of beer in one hand and a Bible in the other. And I turned the TV on, and Ben Kinsel, you know who he's talking about? Repentance. I said, "Man, he's talking to me." I got down on my knees, and I started bawling. And I threw the beer away. I smoked cigarettes. Can you believe that? I was age 25. I took them, and I put them in the trash. I put the beer in the trash. Haven't touched either one of them since. "Oh, you missed your goody two-shoes?" No, I just can't handle that stuff. Huh? And neither can you, but we'll talk about that later. But now, I'm just trying to show you. I remember I wrote down Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The night I got saved, I opened that Bible. Charlie, the janitor, he said, "Just read this Bible tonight." He said, "I don't care if you drink beer while you read it. Just read it." So I'm reading it, and I wrote down Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I started memorizing scripture right there.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sidney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. "Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Have a blessed week.